throws Lance in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans? Want to first off apologize for just how long it's been since you heard from us. As you, I'm sure, can about imagine, we just had a few, holiday mix-ups where not everybody's schedule jived quite exactly, but we are trying to make that up to you guys with a three-man weave. We've got the three-man pod rocking. We've got both Trevor Gebhardt and Nate Zastro live. We'll get to them in just a second. Let's head to the news as you're listening to this. North Dakota State last night took care of Denver on the road. That is not a place that they have won very many times. Denver picked last in the league. But if that is a, if you're going to win a Summit League championship, I got to tell you, that's a game you got to win. You have to win some games on the road. And beating the ninth ranked team in the league is part of that, certainly. On the football side, not really a whole heck of a lot going on. You know, Coach Entz mentioned in the post-game press conference he felt like Phoenix Sproles would be available obviously they did advance to Frisco, Texas. We'll see if there's anything else going on with no immediate post-game press conference after, or immediate midweek press conference after that game, with the holidays going on and with it being so long before North Dakota State actually plays. Maybe we'll get a few more answers. There's a January 3rd conference call that I'm fortunate enough to be a part of with both Cignetti and Ant. So we'll let you know what comes from that. On the hoop side, Jared Samuelson still nicked up, arm in a sling, which doesn't exactly jive with the broken finger that we, reported and was taped up on the bench the last time North Dakota State played at home. Now he's got his arm in a sling in Denver. We'll find out what's going on there. And Sam Griesel did not make the trip, as Richmond mentioned, week to week, and not a guy that they are anticipating having for the start of Summit League play. What that means from a raw number standpoint week to week, who knows? But let's dive into hoops with Nate. Nate, how are we doing, buddy?
We're doing good. Good to have a little Christmas break here. It's fun to be at the Marquette game. I thought NDSU played really well in that game for about 34 minutes. Just kind of ran out of steam a little bit. Lack of depth kind of hurt them a little bit there, and Marquette really bared down at the end of that game. Kind of stunk seeing the free throw disparity there, but that's kind of expected playing a high major on the road. Tough to overcome that, 26 free throws to 10, but it was nice to have a good road win against Denver today. Like you said, they weren't picked to take, they're picked to take last. I mean, it's a game that you got to win if you're going to win a conference championship, and they found a way to get it done. I mean, they held them to 32% shooting. Two seniors, Tyson and Vinny, really, really led the way. They scored over half our points, I believe. I think Vinny had 19, Tyson 18, but just a really good defensive effort against a feisty Denver team, and it's a place that, I mean, since Denver's entered the Summit League, they're 1-5 there, and their one win's an overtime win when Lawrence Alexander just took over the game. So, I mean, it's not an easy place to play, no matter how good or bad Denver is. So it's good to get a win and hopefully get home sometime soon. It looks like the weather's not really cooperating with them right now.
Yeah, I think, you see that over and over again, folks talking about, the elevation, and the Broncos always have a really good home record, and the Nuggets have a good home record, and it's just hard to have your body adjust with, North Dakota State also having some issues with travel. I know our guy Keith Brake was keeping everybody updated on the struggles of the men's and women's basketball program trying to get out of Hector International. I believe it was yesterday even. And ultimately, though, just a game they absolutely, I think, had to kind of accomplish what they want to accomplish. You don't want to drop a game to open your season to the worst team in the league. And you know, until we see something different, I mean, this Denver team's just not achieving. Their net ranking is above 300. They've got some, you know, they got two dudes. Murky is a good player. I think a guy NDSU tried to get, but ended up at DU. And then three, the guard Townsend was absolutely electric in the first half, did not have a bucket in the second half, which was big time. And I think the other thing, you know, was 27 minutes for Chris Quayle. Now, the box score isn't going to show you a ton with, you know, 1 for 5 from the field with an assist, 4 fouls, but knocked down 2 big free throws and had a chase down block. And the box score is not crediting Chris with a block, which I have a really hard time with, but had a chase down block towards the end there that really helped kind of move things along for North Dakota State at the end, got them into a situation where Denver was basically forced to foul, and they made free throws. And speaking of fouls, I mean, that was the other big key to this game and why you saw 15 minutes from Harden Hayes and 27 minutes from Quayle. Tyson Ward ends up in foul trouble all night long, only able to play 23 minutes. That's usually a 35-minute guy, 34-minute guy. Tyson Ward still, though, in 23 minutes with, you know, 18 points, 5 boards, had an assist, and really, at least to start, before he got that weird foul drawing block on Enzekwesi, where he kind of got stuck up in the air and Enzekwesi ran into him, was playing the shutdown defense on Jace Townsend and was giving Townsend too much length. Nate, from Harden Hayes and a Quayle perspective, how do you see that kind of minutes rotation working out? Because Notek did not have his finest night, had 11 minutes all in the first half, 0 for 4 from 3, and was a guy that was taking Quayle's minutes. But in this one, Richmond went with the veteran, went with the defender.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about NDSU's depth and obviously some foul trouble. Those guys are going to get minutes at some points, especially in this conference season. If Jackson's not hitting shots, you might throw a guy like Quayle out there who's gonna defend and doesn't really turn it over. He's gonna shoot open shots. He hasn't shot it great this year, but he's definitely capable of knocking some down. Harden Hayes, kind of get what you can out of him. But like we've talked about, I mean, the depth is there. Richmond obviously has the trust to go to Quayle and Harden Hayes, who are probably, what are they, like 10, 11, maybe 12 on the bench before Griesel and Samuelson got hurt. But to have the trust to go to those guys, those are types of players that not every team has in this conference. And I think that's what makes NDSU good, is being able to go that deep in your bench when you need to pick up a grinded out road win in the Summit League on any given night. So it was good minutes from Quayle. Like you said, it's not going to show in the box score, but played really good defense and really helped out on that Townsend kid, who had 16 in the first, I think it was all 17 of his points were in the first half. He was 6 for 8 from the floor, 3 for 3 from the three, and then he goes 0 for 8 in the second half. They held him completely scoreless. So I think if you would have said that Murky and Townsend had 32 points on 33 shots, you'll take your chances that you're going to be able to outscore Denver, because those two average almost half their points on the season.
Yeah, that was easy to see too. Townsend was a really good shooter, at least he was in the first half. Murky is kind of in that Stanley Amude, just probably a high major athlete that ended up in the Summit League for whatever reason, but a guy that really gave North Dakota State problems defensively and just missed shots. I mean, he got to spots that he wanted to get to on the floor and absolutely just missed shots. And that was kind of the long and short of it. But Harden Hayes, I tell you, he had knocked down a free throw to put the Bison up 7 with 6 minutes left, then goes up and gets absolutely murdered by Ade Murky. No call. Townsend goes down, bangs in a 3, and I believe that starts a 10-0 run from Denver. And then there was an absolutely mad dash at the last second with Shahid getting a steal with 8 seconds left, and then over to Harden Hayes, who threw a shot fake. That three at the end of the half would have 100% been blocked, but he threw a shot fake, reset his feet, and knocked in a corner three to tie the game at the half. And I felt like that was a momentum thing where North Dakota State was kind of leaking oil. And then all of a sudden, you know, Harden Hayes kind of steadies the ship. And then the Bison took the lead with the first bucket of the second half. And I don't ever think they gave it back up. I think they led the rest of the way, even if just by 2 points.
Yeah, that shot before halftime was huge. I think they were up like 6-8 towards the end of the first half, and then they just went cold the last 5 minutes. I don't know if they had a field goal the last 5 minutes besides maybe a free throw or two. So to give up that run and then just hit that three to take some type of momentum into halftime, I think that really helped them coming out in the second half. They didn't do a great job defensively on Townsend. They turned it over 7 times when they're averaging 9.9 as a team for the whole game. They had 15 tonight. That I know Coach Richmond's not going to be really happy with that, especially when 5 of them are from Vinny. Don't want that to take away from Vinny's night. I mean, he had a great night. But yeah, that three before halftime, it seems he's always kind of hitting a three when things aren't going well and kind of turns the tide for this team.
Yeah, he's going to be a big deal coming up. I think maybe, you know, next year you're going to lose Ward and Shahid and Samuelson and Quail. And while there are guys we like, you know, obviously No Tech's one of those guys. Jarius Cook's definitely going to have a chance. Cameron Hunter is going to be able to pretty much shoot it whenever he wants, which he kind of does now anyway. But Harden Hayes is potentially one of those guys that's going to take a completely different role than he has on this year's squad. And that is going to kind of, I think, be a huge part of whether or not next season goes well. But we are just way down in the weeds beyond that. I want to talk to you a little bit because I don't think we're going to get a chance to chat again with no football in between. To chat about Western, because WIU, what a team, what a series of results for this squad. And just so what I'm talking about here is Western beats Ball State, who I believe is in the MAC. Their other two wins coming into this game against USD tonight were over Holy Family College and Central Christian College of the Bible. And prior to the Holy Family College game, they took on Eastern Illinois, so their rival, their in-state rival. They took them on in Macomb, and they lost 85-47. They damn near got doubled up. So what did they do to kick off Summit League play? No worries, just beat USD by 7 at home. I mean, what is it with this group? Everybody knows Kobe Webster by now. That kid, it seems like he's been, you know, at Western for 5 years. He's still got a year left after this. But Zion Young has come on as kind of this secondary option for the Knicks, averaging 14.5. points a game.
Yeah, they're always a dangerous team because Western, I know even when I played, were known as one of the better defensive teams. You never wanted to play in Macomb just because it's not a fun city to be in. I mean, you're going there and trying to get a win, and there's nothing to do there. But it's always a tough place to play. I know teams when I played always struggled there. You just kind of want to find any way possible to get a win. For them to beat USD, I don't, that one's really mind boggling to me. USD's supposed to challenge NDSU for being at the top of the league this year. Got talented players back, preseason player of the year, and just to drop one in Macomb just doesn't really make sense to me. Now, Webster's a great player. He can take over a game at any time. The Pyle kid is a kid who's getting better. I think he was a freshman last year. And then, like you said, Zion Young, he's averaging 14 a game as well. It's kind of weird. Western's averaging 78.5 points a game, which isn't like a Western team. Now, some of that could be a little flawed with scoring a bunch on some of those bad teams, but it doesn't make sense for them to win on the road at Ball State, beat South Dakota, and then just get completely blown out by some of these teams. So we'll see what Western team comes Thursday. I'm sure Coach Richmond will be able to show some of their results where they've beaten good teams and should get the attention of their team.
Yeah, it's another game where, you just absolutely never know with the way that Kobe can fill it up. And if he's got two guys kind of, you know, buoying him or giving him a secondary option, I think that becomes an interesting test. Not a school that's had a ton or maybe even any success in Fargo, but it'll be a long day. I mean, you saw a guard get going against the Bison in the first half. They were able to shut him down, but still a guy that got going, same as the Utah Valley kid did, same as Marcus Howard gets going against plenty of folks, but same as Cardi Jada did in Manhattan. Those guards that are bucket getters have been giving the Bison some issues, not huge issues, but some issues. And I think Kobe certainly is in that conversation. I'm not sure, you know, he's certainly not at the level of Howard and probably not at the level of Jada, but he's a bucket getter. There's absolutely no question about that. All right, Nate, we really appreciate having you on. Let's talk. And we understand that we are 8 days removed from this game. I promise you, we get that and we apologize, but let's talk a little bit of Bison football with our man, Trev. Trev, how are the holidays, buddy?
We're pretty wonderful, Ross. We had some pretty good weather here, especially in comparison to what the fine folks in Fargo are dealing with. And all feels right in the world with the Bison being back in Frisco. Just feels good. Feels right.
Yeah, that was a game. So I would say the week prior, you could certainly qualify our analysis as a whiff. I think we were pretty close. Your and I's predictions have been relatively close all playoffs long, and we didn't see what Illinois State brought to the table coming. We pretty much word for word told you what was going to happen, though, against Montana State.
Yeah, I don't think for us it wasn't really much of a question of the final result of how that was going to happen, simply because you have a Big Sky team coming in. Now, granted, they were there the year before. The makeup of that team was completely different. You had a Bison team coming off a win that probably felt like a loss in certain ways. So you have a galvanized group. I know exactly what's going through the guys' minds in that locker room. You're around those guys. You can see their body language and their demeanor certainly a lot easier than I can. So to be able to, you know, from our eyes and our perspective, yeah, well, there's a certain level of bias in it, but we also try to look at it from a perspective, okay, what's actually going to happen? And we both had 42 to 17, 45 to 17, or whatever it was. And that happened quick. And by quick, I mean like in 20 seconds quick. So, it was good to see those guys bounce back from the Illinois State performance. Certainly we did not give Brock Spack and his staff enough credit coming into that game. Just knowing their experience playing against the Bison in the Valley, but, just to see a 30 point rout in the semis is what we're accustomed to. We've really only had one close semifinal game throughout this whole run since 2011. So definitely put the minds and hearts at ease that whole second half.
Yeah, fourth in Frisco. I actually just kind of chronicled that game a little bit for the work I do over at GoPowerCat.com, talking about Kansas State's bowl opponent in Navy and comparing them with Wofford and with Georgia Southern and with Charleston Southern and some of the option looks that Kleiman faced while in the FCS. So it was fun to go back and watch. I think that was the Travis Beck game. The year before was the Colton Hegel game. I think Colton was med-redding for 2012 with a knee, and Travis Beck was just all over the place. And then, of course, the big sack or the big TFL by Carlton, leading ultimately then at the end of the game with the Brock fourth and Frisco QB power. Certainly a fun memory to go back and think that was before the days of Bison Report. So free as a bird, just watching that one as a fan back in 2012, but certainly fun to relive some of those moments and just a dominating offensive performance from North Dakota State. They ran, I believe, 58 plays and did not take a loss until the kneel down at the end of the game, which is wild to me. I mean, you don't get stopped on a single run. You run it 37 times and they don't get you for a minus one once, and they don't sack your quarterback. And you know, you could tell too, when I had a chance to chat with Zach Johnson before the game on BRTV, how the kind of the glimmer in his eyes and how excited he was about the game plan. You know, he knew that they were going to do kind of what they did. And I could tell he kind of wanted to spill the beans a little bit, but ultimately, you know, he nailed it, man. They were everywhere. And the Rams, I think, defined.
Well, they averaged 8.6 yards a carry. Your Rams are definitely dominating when that's the end stat. I did not realize that they did not have a loss in a play, a loss of yards in any play until the end. That is wild to me. The one thing that stood out to me, clearly number one, being a dude and a half, like, I mean, come on. I mean, it is. I sent out a tweet right after his second touchdown. I just said Christian Watson's a bona fide dude. Like, that kid is a straight baller. He led the team in rushing and receiving. I do not know the last time that has occurred. If we could find that information out, that would be incredible, because I would like to know.
It was probably DJ in the first championship game with that middle screen.
Well, from a receiver, because I don't know if you know what I mean? Because, I mean, those gap screens, you could take them for what they're worth. They count as receptions, but, you know, but I mean, that kid is freaky, right? And you know, we've been high on him as the season's gone on. Have talked about him getting more involved with the offense, and it seems like right when we started talking about that's exactly what happened. So it's fun to see that come to fruition, but that kid's a Sunday player, no doubt. I mean, his length, his speed, his playmaking ability, his athleticism, his balance, and the fact that he can house end arounds and outrun guys that are 20 yards in front of him is more than draft worthy. It's incredible. And how this kid is from Florida, and that athletic and found his way to Fargo, North Dakota is beyond me, but I'm pretty grateful that he's wearing green and gold.
Yeah, I don't, you know, okay, whatever. Late bloomer, maybe Florida State, Florida, Miami. Miami could use him. They can't score a point. But anyway, maybe, you know, Florida State, Florida, Miami, maybe they're not looking, but you can't tell me that UCF, USF, FAU all have, you know, better guys than Christian Watson. I got a tough time with that. But as you mentioned, it's going to be fun to cover him for two more years. That is for damn sure. Just not, you know, and I love Steve Hallstrom. I do. I love Steve. He's good to me. He's had us on the show before, and he posited, you know, who does he remind you of? Who's the comp? Who's the closest comp? And he threw out Warren Holloway, and Warren G was a hell of a player. Certainly, that year that NDSU won their first title with all the injuries at receiver, he absolutely held down the fort for that room. But Christian's just different. This is not an athlete that North Dakota State has had before. I bet the answer to your trivia question, though, Geb, is either your guy Ryan Smith or John Majeski against the Jackrabbits in Fargo. They had kind of a jet sweep in the game plan for him, though I'm not convinced. He probably didn't lead the team in receiving, though. This is a great Ryan Perrault question. We'll put Ryan on that and see if this has happened before in Bison history. But you're exactly right. Number one is an absolute dude. And you know what? Five's not bad either. I thought that Mr. Lance had two, not poor, but two very kind of basic performances in the first 2 weeks. Didn't do anything that you would get on him for, but didn't make a ton of plays and you know, put the Bison on his back. I think he would be the first one to admit that. He had him on his back this week, though. My goodness, 15 of 21 for 223 and 3. Talking about an AYA, probably in the 13, 14, 15 range. I'm not going to do the math, but I'm going to tell you it's right up there, because his flat yards per attempt, you know, we're over 10 with 223 yards on 21 throws. three scores. Then he cuts you up for 5.8 on the ground, 64 yards and two more snacks. He was
He did everything he had to do to get these guys back on track. On Saturday. I mean, he had two rushing touchdowns himself, so he accounted for five. Spread the ball around. He had 270-plus-yard touchdowns to two different cats. Of course, one to number one, and then Dimitri being the other one. Jimmy third down got a touchdown himself, which was a good good way to put a feather in a cap for him. But this guy, if he does not, I don't know when the award's announced, but I think it's January 10th, the night before the championship. If he's not winning that award, I don't just ban it forever, because you would have 3 years in a row that the Valley quarterback. Yeah, exactly. You got the Valley quarterback with Strevler, and then you got Stick.
The wrong guy.
Now won. Lance, that's three in a row. That'd be snubbed. And I don't foresee that happening. I think people know who this kid is, and the no interceptions helps him. And of course the work was done after the season, cause that's when everybody votes. But if this kid does not win that award, I'll be severely disappointed in everybody that votes. And I would like to petition to get some of them kicked out and put myself in there.
Yeah, I got to tell you, too, I disagree. I mean, I do think that they're going to whiff again. I've seen too many people that have votes. Some guys, I'm like, whatever. That's another complete topic for another day. Some of the folks that I've encountered on, like, Facebook and Twitter that just have sort of, like, random FCS podcasts, and they have a vote. And I get that we're team-specific and whatever, but you know, we don't vote on any of that stuff. And I'm not saying we should. I can see where we would be kind of called into question from a bias perspective. But there are a lot of other folks that are very team specific that have votes as well. So, like I said, a story for a different day. But I've just seen a lot of, well, this is my case against Trey Lance. And it's like, well, okay, show me the other guy then. Show me his three worst games and how they compare with Trey's. But anyway, that's 45 minutes of stuff that Trevor and I could go into that, you know, would be an entire other podcast, and we're just not going to do that. I'm going to go out, have a couple beers on Friday night before the game, as is customary, and then probably end up rage tweeting like I did last year. Be a good time. Really excited about it. One thing that I wasn't excited about was the fact that Montana State was without Troy Anderson. Troy Anderson, of course, the do-it-all, Taysom Hill. I don't really know who to compare him to, because Taysom does play defense, but he was Montana State's quarterback a season ago. This year, he's played Wildcat QB. He's played outside linebacker, probably played some receiver and some tight end. Maybe I don't know what all he's done, but really the heart and soul of Montana State football, and not, I don't think that is not something that can be debated. I mean, that is what the coach says. It's what the media says. I mean, Troy Anderson is Montana State football, and he didn't go. And I don't think that would have changed the result by a ton, but it still kind of leaves a sour taste in your mouth.
Well, yeah. Anytime you're playing this deep in the playoffs, anytime you're playing championship type football, you want to see the best guys on the field, and it just makes everything more legitimate. And anytime you beat a team, especially if it would have been a close type game, let's say it would have been a 3-point game, 7-point game, Troy Anderson's not in there. Well, now you have the what if forever lingering in your mind. Not necessarily from the winning side, but from Montana State side, you're going, did we give ourselves the best chance to win? And unfortunately, you didn't have your guy who is your beating heart of your team. Now, of course, based off the result from last week, it doesn't change who's winning this game, but it does give yourself a better shot, and it does give you a better feeling going, okay, you know what? We did have everything in place to give ourselves the best shot to win, and we just weren't enough. Now, if you're NDSU, you took care of business to where you're not going, okay, there's no what if factor in there. Cause I'll reference a game for you, that Eastern Washington game that we always talk about with Brock, with him being down. You know, I don't think we even come close if their running back didn't break his foot in the second quarter, I think it was.
Talking about Tywan Jones?
And his name escapes me too right now, but Tywan Jones, yep. If he doesn't break his foot, there's no way that we were in that game. Him being hurt and him being out helped us a lot. And had we won, that what if from Eastern Washington would have been there forever. Now, granted, ball don't lie. Those guys ended up going on and winning the national title, and it sparked what we're seeing, like I wrote about to begin this year. But, yeah, not having your guy and your dude. I don't know what year Troy Anderson is. I believe he's a junior.
I'm pretty sure that Troy's senior season will be next year. And I would assume they'll do some sort of Buster Posey thing with him where they play him at all 11 spots or something wild.
I hope so, because that'd be pretty sweet just to be able to say he did that. But, yeah, you know, with him coming back, you know, it's good for him so he doesn't have to have his career end in this fashion. Losing him Fargo twice, but who knows, maybe we'll see him again next year.
And if yeah, we do, and Choke he's made mention of that he was really excited about Troy potentially being one of the better players in FCS football next year. And I think that's a realistic expectation. I mean, I think it's something that absolutely could happen. He is one hell of a football player. There is absolutely no question about it. Defensively, I thought North Dakota State absolutely dominated the game. Yes, they gave up a couple of scores, but you know, like one was a false start on a wildcat where they probably should have held them to three. And then just a great call on the smash fade concept from the inside receiver. Well, you're one-on-one with a safety, even an all-American safety like Jimmy Hendricks. That's going to be really, really hard to defend a fade route from an inside receiver. It's a tough look. James Madison got Dom Davis on that in the 2016 championship game where the outside receiver just runs a quick hook and the slot guy goes to the corner. Trev, that's really hard to defend.
They're a Final Four football team for a reason. I mean, they're going to find things that NDSU isn't, you know, the best at. It's not to put a knock on anybody, but they're going to try to find as many weaknesses as they can. They're going to try to exploit it to their strengths. And any team playing in the Final Four has got dudes, and they're going to get theirs. They're getting paid too. So, you know, it is what it is, and you just learn from it and clean it up because you know that you got a better opponent coming in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and that's something that we'll get into a little bit down the road. We're not going to take on a ton here because we've got a lot of time to kill between now and JMU. I think these have pretty clearly been the two best teams all year long. James Madison's only blemish is a loss, frankly, to a bad West Virginia team. I was joking with someone after West Virginia beat K-State. I said, that's the worst loss on their resume by far. I said, North Dakota State would beat West Virginia by 20 in Fargo, which obviously their K-State's loss to WVU was at home and just was not a good showing. That team did not have a good year, but it's still an FBS FCS. I understand, you know, that you would have expected West Virginia to win that game. And then following that, James Madison absolutely walks through the CAA. I mean, just completely destroys that conference, and say what you will about that conference, but they absolutely took care of business. No question about it. Trev, you got anything more for us?
No, not really. Really just the fact that it's NDSU JMU again, I think is phenomenal for the subdivision overall. You know, I think anybody that's a fan of the pod and certainly us around Bison Nation and Bison Report, we want what's best for the subdivision because it elevates NDSU's brand. And the fact that these two teams are playing in Frisco, I think is probably the best matchup we've had on paper coming in a long, long time. And the fact that it is on ABC now, it's going to open up eyes to more viewers. It's going to bring more exposure to the subdivision. And I think that you're getting the best quality product on the field and on that primetime slot is going to elevate the subdivision as a whole. So that for me was exciting. I was glad that both teams were able to take care of business and that these two meet on the collision course that they were meant to be on to begin the year.
Yeah, for sure. And that's with the national media potential, you know, with the ABC time slot, we got a football starved country. you know, I mentioned that on Bison 1660 with the ratings for the AAF, and I would assume the ratings for the XFL will look a lot like those. People just want to watch football, man. And you know, people with a few issues like maybe I've got, they just want to gamble on football, and that's going to give everybody an opportunity to potentially do so at 11 a.m. on a Saturday with no other ball until Clemson and LSU lock horns, in which will be just a wild CFP final, in my opinion. I think those two squads offensively have the ability to light it up. You've seen LSU's defense occasionally struggle to stop folks. Like there have definitely been games in which they've given up points, no question about it. But Joey Burrow, man, he is something else, and that'll be a really fun weekend of football, I think, and something that folks should definitely enjoy. If you guys are interested in what's going on with Coach Klieman and the Kansas State Wildcats, Gene Taylor, of course, there as well. That is a New Year's Eve game, right? Kind of a perfect time to kick off your festivities, have a little cocktail there at 2:45 in the afternoon, and kind of get lubed up for the evening for sure. So that's a 2:45 p.m. kick on ESPN. That's going to be Kansas State against Navy. And if you guys remember, that's actually where North Dakota State got Gene Taylor from, was from the Naval Academy. He was assistant AD there, was with Navy for 14, 15 years before he got to North Dakota State. Then, of course, NDSU, Iowa, and now with the Cats. Folks, we really want to thank you guys for listening to the show. Nate and Trevor, I want to thank you guys for being a part of it, taking time out of your schedules. You know, we got family around, as most folks do this time of year, but we really appreciate the time. Ladies and gentlemen, there is one way certainly to support the three of us in this venture, and that is to become a VIP member over at Bison Report. Right now, we've got a month for $1. If you want us to give us a shot, or we'll just do 30% off of an annual subscription for you and get you that lower rate for the rest of the year. Guys, keep your eyes peeled for the preview edition of the pod for the national championship, and go Bison.